Hello, my name is Caitlin from Girl Scout Troop 146008. My troop mates and I are fifth graders at West U Elementary School. For our Bronze Award Community Project, we wanted to do something to cheer people of all ages during this holiday season. So we hope you enjoy our versions of some classic holiday stories and songs, as well as original works by us. We'll start out with the sort of mixed-up version of The Night Before Christmas, read by Aaron and Paloma.
Hi, my name is Paloma.
And I'm Aaron.
We'll be giving a creative take on The Night Before Christmas.
The Night Before Christmas.
'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not even a creature was stirring, not even a chicken.
Wait! Doesn't the story go not even a mouse, not a chicken?
Oh, you're right.
Carry on.
The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Patrick soon would be there.
Isn't it St. Nicholas, not St. Patrick?
Fine, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads, and Mama and her kerchief and I and my cat had just settled on for a long spring's nap.
You mean winter's nap, right? Because you just said springs.
Right, sorry, a long winter's nap. When out of the lawn there arose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what's the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of midday to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a miniature sleigh and 21 tiny reindeer.
Why did you say 21? Isn't it 8? But if there are 21, I've never heard the rest 13 before.
Wait! Oh, sorry. That does say 8, not 21.
Now back to the story.
With that little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his coursers came, and he whistled and shouted to, and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner, on Blitzen. To the top of the porch, on the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away, one.
Dash away one? It's dash away all reindeer, not just one. And by the way, why is this story all mixed up?
That's right, it's dash away all, not one. Also, you're right about this mixed up story I'm reading. As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly when they meet with an obstacle mount to the sky. So up on the housetop, the coursers flew with a car full of toys and St. Nicholas too.
Hold up! Isn't it a sleigh full of toys? There's no car in this story, right?
Right, there isn't, but then I don't know why it says it in the book.
Again with the story.
And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney St. Nicholas came with a bound. He was dressed all in fur from his head to his knee.
You mean foot, right? Head to foot?
Yeah, sorry. And his clothes were all tarnished with ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and he looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry, his cheeks were like roses, his nose was a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up in a bow, and the beard on his arm...
A beard on an arm?
Oh, sorry. And the beard on his chin was as white as snow. The stump on his pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him, in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me it to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled the stockings and then turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod up the chimney, he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they flew like a down of thistle. But I heard him explain as he drove out of sight, "Happy Thanksgiving," and...
Stop right there! It's Happy Christmas to all!
Right, this is a Christmas book, not a Thanksgiving one. Happy Christmas to all, and all a good morning.
Night.
Right, good night.
The end.
Next, Juliana will read one of her fantastic original poems.
Christmas morning, the scent of pine fills the air, children playing everywhere, in the snow or in a shop, where they buy toys until they stop. The people skate in the rink, they have some fun instead of washing dishes in the sink. People laugh and shout with joy because it is Christmas morning.
Now, we hope you'll enjoy the cute holiday song, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, sung by Audrey.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. Don't want a doll, no dinky tinker toy. I want a hippopotamus to play with and enjoy. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. I don't think Santa Claus will mind, do you? He won't have to use a dirty chimney flue. Just bring him through the front door, that's the easy thing to do. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy, what surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles, no rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses. And hippopotamuses like me too. Mom says a hippo would eat me up, but then teacher says a hippo is a vegetarian. There's lots of room for him in our two-car garage. I'd feed him there and wash him there and give him his massage. I can see me now on Christmas morning creeping down the stairs. Oh, what joy, what surprise when I open up my eyes to see a hippo hero standing there. I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do. No crocodiles or rhinoceroses. I only like hippopotamuses. And hippopotamuses like me too.
Now here are Alexa and Claire reading Madeline's Christmas, where a lot of holiday magic happens.
Hi, my name is Alexa.
And my name is Claire.
And we will read one of our favorite stories, Madeline's Christmas.
In an old house in Paris that was covered with vines, lived 12 little girls in two straight lines. They left the house at 9:30 in two straight lines in rain or shine. The smallest one was Madeline.
She was not afraid of mice. She loved winter, snow, and ice. And to the tiger in the zoo, Madeline just said, "Pooh, pooh."
It was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even the mouse.
For like everyone else in the house, which was old, the poor mouse was in bed with a miserable cold.
And only our brave little Madeline
was up and about
and feeling
just fine.
Suddenly came a knock, which made her pause.
Could it perhaps be Santa Claus? But no.
A rug merchant was at the door. He had 12 rugs, he had no more.
"Why, these," said Madeline, "would be so neat for our ice cold in the morning feet."
"It seems to me," said Miss Clavel, "that you have chosen very well."
Madeline gave him a handful of francs. "Here they are with all our thanks."
Without the rugs, which he had sold, the rug merchant got awfully cold. "To sell my rugs," he cried, "was silly. Without them, I am very chilly." He wants to get them back, but will he?
He made it back to Madeline's door. He couldn't take one footstep more.
And little Madeline set about to find a way to thaw him out. The merchant, who was tall and thin, and also a magician, bravely took his medicine.
The magician, as he took his pill, said, "Ask me, Madeline, what you will." Said she, "I've cooked a dinner nutritious. Will you please help me with these dishes?
If you'll clear up, I'll go and see if I can find a Christmas tree. His magic ring, he gave a glance and went into a special trance. The dirty dishes washed themselves and jumped right back upon the shelves.
And then he mumbled, words profound, abracadabra, bracadabra, racadva, acada, cat, ah.
That made the carpets leave the ground.
And 12 little girls were on their way
to surprise their parents on Christmas Day.
Miss Clavel again, quite well, thought it time to ring her bell, which quickly broke the magic spell.
And now we're back, all 12 right here, to wish our friends a Happy New Year!
Next, we hope these riddles presented by Giselle and Juliana will bring you some holiday cheer.
What do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire?
Fangs?
No, frostbite. What do you call Santa when he stops moving?
Well, I don't know.
Santa paws. Why is Santa so good at karate?
I have no idea.
Because he has a black belt.
What do you get if you cross an apple and a Christmas tree?
A snowball?
No, a pineapple.
What Christmas carol is a favorite of parents?
I don't know.
Silent Night. Where do mistletoe go to become famous?
Texas?
Hollywood.
Hi, it's Caitlin again. Next, here's a poem I wrote about winter. The snow is wet and the leaves are still green, but the weather is warm yet cold. But this is an average winter day. You can wear a jacket but not a parka. You can make snowballs but they would be soggy. But this is an average winter day. It is snowing but not much. You need gloves but no hat. But most winters are like this, so this is an average winter day. Next, sisters Giselle and Juliana, who love ballet, will read their favorite holiday story, The Nutcracker.
It was Christmas Eve at the Stahlbaum's house. Marie and her little brother Fritz were listening at the ballroom door, waiting for the party to begin. Everyone was dancing when the last guest arrived. "Godfather!" cried Marie, rushing back to greet him. Herr Drosselmeyer was not only Marie's godfather, but he was also a famous toy maker. He could make toys that moved and clocks that called the hours as sweetly as a nightingale. Herr Drosselmeyer brought presents for the children. He gave Fritz a box of toy soldiers. For Marie, there were two dolls, Harley Quinn and Columbine, who danced with each other.
"I have another present for you, Marie," said Herr Drosselmeyer, handing her a wooden nutcracker. "I want you to take good care of him."
"Not fair," shouted Fritz. "She has three presents." He grabbed the nutcracker from Marie and tossed him in the air. The nutcracker crashed to the floor and broke his head.
"So what?" jeered Fritz. "It was an ugly thing." Herr Drosselmeyer bound Nutcracker's head with his handkerchief. Tenderly, Marie took Nutcracker into her arms. She put him under the Christmas tree.
Outside in the street, the carriages waited. After a flurry of goodbyes, Fritz and Marie were sent up to bed. "But my poor Nutcracker's all alone," thought Marie, tiptoeing back downstairs. Holding Nutcracker close, she soon fell asleep. Herr Drosselmeyer slipped into the room and, raising his hand, cast a bit of magic.
Bong, bong, bong. The grandfather clock struck midnight. Marie stared and rubbed her eyes. The Christmas tree was growing. Around her came a scampering of mice. Squeak, squeak. They were gathering like an army to attack. Their ruler was the Mouse King, who had seven heads and seven crowns. Marie held Nutcracker and ran as fast as she could.
Nutcracker leapt out of Marie's arms and held his sword at the ready. Fritz's toy soldiers took their battle positions.
Swords flashed and cannons fired. Boom, boom, squeak, squeak. Nutcracker fought bravely, but the Mouse King was stronger.
No, cried Marie. You shall not hurt him.
She pulled off her slipper and threw it with all her might at the Mouse King.
With a hiss, the Mouse King sank to the floor. Gathering up their king, the mice dragged him away. From the shadows, Herr Drosselmeyer saw Marie's bravery.
He raised his hand, and Nutcracker was transformed into a handsome prince. The prince bowed to Marie and placed the Mouse King's sparkling crown upon her head.
Come, said the prince. They walked through falling snowflakes to a waiting boat that flew them through the night.
Welcome to my kingdom, said the prince. But where are we? Asked Marie. You are in the land of sweets, said the sugar plum fairy, coming through the gates of the kingdom. Welcome home, dear prince. We will have a party to celebrate your return.
The sugar plum fairy led the prince and Marie to the seat of honor. Coffee, chocolate, Chinese tea, and marzipan, and Mother Ginger and her polichinelles danced for them.
Pink roses waltz. At last, the sugar plum fairy danced. She seemed lighter than air.
Too soon, it was time to leave. As they flew homeward, Marie asked the prince, "Will I ever see you again?" The prince replied, "One day your courage and kind heart will be rewarded. Do not forget me."
"What are you doing under the tree, Marie?" said her mother the next morning. "Wake up," said Herr Drosselmeyer. Marie opened her eyes and hugged her Nutcracker. She whispered, "If only you were alive, I would not care if Fritz said you were ugly. I would love you anyways."
Herr Drosselmeyer raised his hand, and Nutcracker again became the Prince of Fairyland. The prince said to Marie, "The Mouse King imprisoned me under an evil spell. Because he loved me, no matter what I look like, his spell is broken. I have been returned to my true form."
Years passed, and the prince and Marie became engaged. After their wedding, they rode to the land of sweets in a coach trimmed in gold drawn by 4 silver horses. To this day, there are those who say Marie is the queen of a wondrous fairyland that only those who believe can see.
And now, some more riddles by Emmy and Mary Elizabeth that will make you giggle.
Where does a snowman keep his money?
I don't know, maybe in his hat?
No, in a snowbank. What do you call a snowman in the summer?
Melted?
No, a puddle.
What do you get when you deep fry a Santa Claus?
I don't know, a dried out Santa?
No, Kris Kringle. Why did the elf push his bed into the fireplace?
Because he wanted to be closer to Santa?
No, because he wanted to sleep like a log.
Ho, ho, ho.
Here's another holiday poem written by Juliana.
Santa's coming. The bells jingle, the stockings sway with all the force they have that day. A jolly old man with a red nose too stops by to drop off what he can do. The cookies crumble with every bite. The old man takes off tonight. There he goes into the night, going to the next house to get a bite.
Next, Amelia will read The Not-So-Merry Pout-Pout Fish, a new holiday classic that shows us what the best gift really is.
In a festive ocean corner, fish were decking out the reef, hanging tinsel bows and lights in a holiday motif. Voices laughed, voices sang, what a merry time of year. Yet a certain gloomy fish wasn't feeling any cheer. Mr. Fish, with his list, wore a yuletide pout. I need presents for my friends, but my time is running out. For a gift should be big, and a gift should be bright, and a gift should be perfect, guaranteed to bring delight. And a gift should have meaning, plus a bit of bling-zing, so I'll shop till I drop for each just right thing. At the first store he reached, Mr. Fish's eyes grew wide. The shelves were full of baubles. How could any fish decide? Shiny trinkets, handy gadgets, choices more and more galore. And yet nothing seemed quite right. Guess I'll try the shop next door. For a gift should be big, and a gift should be bright, and a gift should be perfect, guaranteed to bring delight. And a gift should have meaning, plus a bit of bling-zing, so I'll shop till I drop for each just right thing. In a tizzy, busy crowd, shoppers everywhere beside him, Mr. Fish spied a banner for the season's hottest item. He hustled, bustled over, but they just sold out. Mr. Fish's hopes wobbled in a bout of pout doubt. For a gift should be big, and a gift should be bright, and a gift should be perfect, guaranteed to bring delight. And a gift should have meaning, plus a bit of bling-zing, so I'll shop till I drop for each just right thing. He reached the final store and was very first in line, but his shopping plans were dashed. "We're closed," said the sign. There are no stores left. There is no place to go. Mr. Fish had nothing, not a single gift to show. Oh, a gift should be big, and a gift should be bright, and a gift should be perfect, guaranteed to bring delight. A gift should have meaning, plus a bit of bling-zing, but I've shopped till I've plopped, and I don't have a thing. Mr. Fish's face sank in a crestfallen frown. I'll have to miss the party and let all my friends down. Then a gentle voice jingled, "Mr. Fish, that's not true. All you really need to bring is the one and only you. If you want to give some presents, it's not too late to start, for the best gifts of all come straight from the heart." With the help of Miss Shimmer, sharing laughter, fun, and grins, Mr. Fish made gifts with his very own fins. Later at the party, Mr. Fish passed them out, and he felt very merry. This is what today's about. For his gifts were big, and his gifts were bright, and his gifts were perfect, and they all brought delight. And his gifts had meaning, plus a bit of bling-zing, and his each and every friend loved their just right thing. All were happy, all were laughing, all were talking, all were singing. All were sharing in the season and the goodwill it was bringing. Mr. Fish joined his friends, and he felt his heart lift. They had peace, joy, and love. What a very merry gift!
Now, here are some more silly holiday riddles by Aaron and Paloma.
Why does Santa have three gardens?
Maybe to store more presents in?
So he can go, ho, ho, ho. Who gives presents to baby sharks?
The shark tooth?
No, Santa Jaws. What do elves learn at school?
I don't know.
The alphabet. Why do mummies like Christmas so much?
Because they like all the presents?
Because they like all the wrapping.
Hi, it's Caitlin again. Now, I hope you'll enjoy one of the holiday poems that I wrote for you. The warmth of the holidays. Snuggled up by the full fire, hot cocoa in hand, holiday tunes playing loud, the warmth of the holidays is keeping happiness around. Setting up a tree, oh what a sight, all the ornaments red, green, and white. The fireplace on, the hot cocoa in my hand, the holiday tunes playing loud, the warmth of the holidays keeps happiness around. All the gifts under the tree, all different shapes and sizes, and the anticipation about the surprises. With the fireplace on and the hot cocoa in my hand and the holiday tunes playing loud, the warmth of the holidays keeps happiness around. And we're all happy together as can be, singing songs and opening presents by the tree. With the fireplace on and the hot cocoa in our hands and the holiday tunes playing loud, the warmth of the holidays keeps happiness around. Next, Emmy and Mary Elizabeth will read the book version of the popular holiday movie Home Alone.
"'Twas 3 nights before Christmas, and the McAllister family was getting ready to leave for vacation. Everyone was busy packing.
Everyone except Kevin, who was busy getting into trouble.
"'Go straight to bed,' his mother demanded. "'That's enough trouble for one day.'
Lying in bed, Kevin could hear voices and laughter coming from downstairs. Everyone was having fun without him. "'I hope I never see my family again,' Kevin whispered. "'I wish I was home alone.'
The next morning, the house was very, very quiet. No one was shouting, no one was running around, no one was telling Kevin to hurry up and eat his breakfast. No one was home. Finally, Kevin realized what had happened.
I made my family disappear!
For the first time ever, Kevin had the house all to himself. He raced up and down the halls. He jumped on all the beds. He ate a giant ice cream sundae for breakfast.
After watching hours of television, he searched through his brother's private stuff
and rode a toboggan down a giant mountain. Ah! He even tried his father's aftershave lotion. This was not a good idea. It stings!
But sometimes it was very scary to be alone. Kevin was especially afraid of his next-door neighbor. Old Man Marley was the scariest person who lived on the block.
And that night, Kevin heard whispers outside the living room window. Burglars were snooping around the house.
You see, Marv said, most of the houses on the street are empty. Everyone is away for the holidays. Perfect, Harry said. We'll come back tomorrow night and steal everything.
Kevin was so scared he dialed 911, but the telephone didn't work. The wires had been damaged in a snowstorm. After hiding under his parents' bed for a long time, Kevin decided that he was being silly. Only a wimp would be hiding, and I can't be a wimp. I'm the grown-up of this house, and I need to act like one.
The next day was Christmas Eve, and Kevin had plenty of grown-up work to do. He walked to the grocery store and bought food. He put his clothes in the washing machine.
He decorated a Christmas tree, and he hung Christmas stockings for his parents and brothers and sisters. I miss you guys, he whispered. I wish you would come back.
Kevin's family always went to church on Christmas Eve, so that's what Kevin did. After the service ended, he saw his scary next-door neighbor, Old Man Marley, sitting nearby.
You don't have to be afraid, Mr. Marley said. The kids in the neighborhood have lots of spooky stories about me, but they're not true. After they talked for a while, Kevin realized that Mr. Marley was, in fact, a very nice man. Are you visiting anyone for Christmas? Kevin asked.
No, Mr. Marley said. I miss my family and I like to see them, but my son and I are fighting. I said some angry words that I didn't mean. Kevin knew exactly how Mr. Marley felt. Kevin remembered wishing his family would disappear, but he hadn't really meant it. You should try talking to your son, Kevin said. Maybe I will, Mr. Marley said.
When Kevin left the church, it was already dark. The burglars would be coming soon. He ran all the way home.
Kevin made a plan that was full of booby traps.
He scattered toy cars and smeared tar on the basement steps. He made a big pile of feathers and hid sharp ornaments under the windowsill.
He sprayed water on the front steps and tied paint cans to ropes. He stretched a trip wire through the hallway and built an escape route to his treehouse.
At 9 o'clock, Marv and Harry returned to the McAllister's house, ready to steal everything inside. They didn't know that Kevin had sprayed water all over the steps.
Or that the water had frozen into slick, slippery ice.
The burglar stumbled into all of Kevin's traps. Yeah! Yow!
Wah! Ew!
Marv and Harry slipped on the toy cars
and were knocked over by paint cans.
Kevin escaped through his bedroom window and ran next door to his neighbor's house.
Unfortunately, Marv and Harry were close behind. Now we've got you, kid, Harry said.
Mr. Marley arrived just in time. Whack! Whack! He bonked the burglars with a snow shovel and called the police. Then he brought Kevin home.
That night, Kevin left a note for Santa Claus, along with some milk and cookies. He couldn't wait for Christmas morning. And his letter said, Dear Santa, I don't need any presents, just bring my family back. Love, Kevin McAllister.
When he woke up the next day, Kevin rushed into the living room. Mom, Dad, is anyone here? No one answered him.
Then he heard a familiar voice. Kevin, is that you?
His mother was home. I miss you so much, he said, giving her a giant hug. I miss you too, she said. Where are the others? Kevin asked.
The front door flew open, and there they were. His father, his brothers, and sisters. Everybody was home at last. "Are you okay?" his father asked. "I'm just happy you're all back," Kevin said.
"Merry Christmas!"
And now here's the musical version of The Grinch, sung by Audrey, Alexa, and Claire.
"You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch.
You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You have garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch.
I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole.
You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch.
Given a choice between the two of you, I take the seasick crocodile.
You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch.
The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk.
You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful sots. Your heart's a dead tomato splotch with moldy purple sauce, Mr. Grinch.
Your soul is an appalling dump heap overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots.
You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nosh. You're a crooked, dirty jockey, and you drive a crooked horse, Mr. Grinch.
You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
Here's another holiday poem written by Juliana.
Setting up the Christmas tree. The tree goes up, the children fight over which one will hang up the first ornament that night. The tinsel falls upon the tree. People smile with glee. Candy canes and lights. What a delight to hang up on the tree that night.
Now, Maya and Lily will read one of the season's most beloved stories, The Polar Express.
On Christmas Eve, many years ago, I lay quietly in my bed. I did not rustle the sheets. I breathed slowly and silently. I was listening for a sound my friend had told me I'd never hear. The ringing bells of Santa's sleigh. There is no Santa, my friend had insisted, but I knew he was wrong. Late that night, I did hear sounds, though not of ringing bells. From outside came sounds of hissing steam and squeaking metal. I looked through my window and saw a train standing perfectly still in front of my house.
It was wrapped in an apron of steam. Snowflakes fell lightly around it. A conductor stood at the open door of one of the cars. He took a large pocket watch from his vest, then looked up at my window. I put on my slippers and robe. I tiptoed downstairs and out the door. "All aboard!" the conductor cried out. I ran up to him. "Well," he said, "are you coming?" "Where?" I asked. "Why, to the North Pole, of course," was his answer. "This is the Polar Express." I took his outstretched hand and he pulled me aboard.
The train was filled with other children, all in their pajamas and nightgowns. We sang Christmas carols and ate candies with nougat centers as white as snow. We drank hot chocolate as thick and rich as melted chocolate bars. Outside, the lights of towns and villages flickered in the distance as the Polar Express raced northward.
Soon there were no more lights to be seen. We traveled through cold, dark forest where lean wolves roamed and white-tailed rabbits hid from our train as it thundered through the quiet wilderness.
We climbed mountains so high it seemed as if we would scrape the moon. But the Polar Express never slowed down. Faster and faster we ran along, rolling over peaks and through valleys like a car on a roller coaster.
The mountains turned into hills, the hills to snow-covered plains. We crossed a barren desert of ice, the Great Polar Ice Cap. Lights appeared in the distance. They looked like the lights of a strange ocean liner sailing on a frozen sea. "There," said the conductor, "is the North Pole."
The North Pole. It was a huge city standing alone at the top of the world, filled with factories where every Christmas toy was made. At first, we saw no elves. "They are gathering at the center of the city," the conductor told us. "That is where Santa will give the first gift of Christmas." "Who receives the first gift?" we all asked. The conductor answered, "He will choose one of you."
"Look," shouted one of the children, "the elves." Outside, we saw hundreds of elves. As our train drew closer to the center of the North Pole, we slowed to a crawl. So crowded were the streets with Santa's helpers. When the Polar Express could go no farther, we stopped and the conductor led us outside.
We pressed through the crowd to the edge of a large open circle. In front of us stood Santa's sleigh. The reindeer were excited. They pranced and paced, ringing the silver sleigh bells that hung from their harnesses. It was a magical sound like nothing I've ever heard. Across the circle, the elves moved apart and Santa Claus appeared. The elves cheered wildly. He marched over to us and pointed to me. "Let's have this fellow here." He jumped into his sleigh. The conductor handed me up and I sat on Santa's knee and he asked, "Now what would you like for Christmas?"
I knew that I could have any gift I could imagine, but the thing I wanted most for Christmas was not inside Santa's giant bag. What I wanted more than anything was one silver bell from Santa's sleigh. When I asked, Santa smiled, then he gave me a hug and told an elf to cut a bell from a reindeer's harness. The elf tossed it up to Santa. He stood holding the bell high above him and called out, "The first gift of Christmas!"
A clock struck midnight as the elves roared their approval. Santa handed the bell to me and I put it in my bathrobe pocket. The conductor helped me down from the sleigh. Santa shouted out the reindeer's names and cracked his whip. His team charged forward and climbed into the air. Santa circled once above us, then disappeared in the cold, dark polar sky.
As soon as we were back inside the Polar Express, the other children asked to see the bell. I reached into my pocket, but the only thing I felt was a hole. I had lost the silver bell from Santa Claus's sleigh. "Let's hurry outside and look for it," one of the children said, but the train gave a sudden lurch and started moving. We were on our way home.
It broke my heart to lose the bell. When the train reached my house, I sadly left the other children. I stood at my doorway and waved goodbye. The conductor said something from the moving train, but I couldn't hear him. "What?" I yelled out. He cupped his hands around his mouth. "Merry Christmas," he shouted. The Polar Express let out a loud blast from its whistle and sped away.
On Christmas morning, my little sister Sarah and I opened our presents. When it looked as if everything had been unwrapped, Sarah found one last small box behind the tree. It had my name on it. Inside was a silver bell. There was a note. "Found this on the seat of my sleigh. Fix that hole in your pocket." Signed, Mr. C. I shook the bell. It made the most beautiful sound my sister and I had ever heard. But my mother said, Oh, that's too bad. Yes, said my father, it's broken. When I had shaken the bell, my parents had not heard a sound.
At one time, most of my friends could hear the bell. But as years passed, it fell silent for all of them. Even Sarah found one Christmas that she could no longer hear its sweet sound. Though I've grown old, the bell still rings for me as it does for all who truly believe.
Hi again, it's Caitlin. I hope you enjoyed our program. We sure had fun recording it for you. We wanted to thank the folks from Sight into Sound for helping us bring this special program to you. So from all of us from Troop 146008, have a very blessed and magical holiday.
Merry Christmas!